Adam Liptak is a legal reporter for the New York Times, and he'll help us sort some of this out. Hey, Adam, it's John. You're on WGN in Chicago. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
You bet.
Strange story. Can you just kind of give me maybe the framework of how we can best understand this?
Yeah, it sort of changes by the day, but this is the first confirmed meeting, private meeting between a Russian national and the members of Donald Trump's inner circle you mentioned, including his son-in-law and his son. And day by day, Donald Trump Jr.'s story has changed so that now he's admitted that he went to that meeting in the hope of getting compromising information about Hillary Clinton. And to do that from a foreign national, much less a foreign national linked to the Kremlin, is a pretty big step, and it sure seems to undermine the president's statement, categorical statement, that there's been no collusion of any kind.
That's the New York Times reporting. Has Donald Trump Jr. or anybody in the administration confirmed that that was Donald Trump Jr.'s reason for going to that meeting?
Yeah, that was his statement, and he actually was a little pissed that he didn't, by his account, he didn't get the information he was looking for. In his statement, Donald Jr. says, "It became clear to me that that something else was the true agenda all along, lobbying about a law that we can talk about later. And the claims of potentially helpful information were a pretext for the meeting." That is, he took the meeting in the hopes that he'd get damaging information, and he came to be dissatisfied with the meeting because he didn't get that.
What's troubling, that he took the meeting at all? I mean, is that the first breach?
On the one hand, I don't think it's unusual for campaigns to seek damaging information about other campaigns. On the other hand, it may be a bright line not to cross when foreign nationals are involved. Federal election laws prohibit soliciting anything of value from a foreign national, prohibits foreign nationals from participating in political campaigns in any way. So the foreign piece of it is not good. And then, moreover, the fact that this foreign national is linked to the Kremlin may be an additional alarm bell.
Maybe that's what happens when you get rookies in there, people who either don't know the law, the history, the ethic, or the political damage that they may be, you know, causing. I mean, to be honest with you, I actually wondered in reading your articles today or the coverage in the Times, I thought, I wonder if the Clinton campaign had a similar opportunity, would they turn it down? If somebody said, hey, we've got damaging information about the Trump campaign, not that you had to work too hard about it. I mean, Lord, it was an amazing campaign. But suppose they had something that they felt was really significant. Would the Clinton team say, no, 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 we don't like the source on this. We can't take that meeting.
It's an excellent question. It's a hypothetical. It's hard to know. But let me try this out on you. When in 2000, Al Gore's campaign over the transom got confidential briefing books on debate briefings for George W. Bush, their impulse was not to use it, but to call the FBI, which is what they did, and turned it over to the FBI. So it's not true that every campaign will go to any length to get opposition research or damaging information or inside information about the opposing campaign. It is possible sometimes to think that's not the way we want to play the game.
So they take this meeting, though, with this Russian woman, the attorney, and these mm-hmm. people, and there's not much information there. They're more interested in changing this one law. It has to do with adoption, et cetera. They don't want to be real involved in that. So it's kind of a wash, as you said, in fake pretense.
Right. Although even her real agenda, which is to try to do away with a congressionally enacted law to address human rights abuses in Russia, is, you know, very much an opportunity to hear out someone with links to the Kremlin about something the Kremlin cares deeply about. And, you know, there you can ask the question about whether that's how a presidential campaign ought to be spending its time.
No kidding. Is there a law that's been broken here or potentially broken?
It depends how broadly you want to define the term a thing of value. If in offering damaging information to the campaign, the Russian lawyer was offering a thing of value, she may well have violated the law. And if Donald Jr. or others affiliated with the Trump campaign were soliciting a thing of value and damaging information was thought to be a thing of value, you know, more typically money. But nonetheless, if indeed she had something or they thought she had something and they were trying to get it, it's not outside the realm of possibility. And some liberal organizations have already filed complaints with the Department of Justice and the Federal Election Commission, saying that if that our reporting suggests that that law might have been violated.
Can you give me some perspective on this? How big of a deal is this?
I think this is a moving target, and just as at first we thought there was nothing to the notion that the president himself might have obstructed justice, and now many legal experts think that the beginnings of a case can be made there, I think the special prosecutor in this case, too, on the collusion side, may start to see this coming into focus, coming into the zone. It's, you know, this is the kind of thing where the reporting is changing day by day. I should say that the reporting was by my colleagues, Joe Becker, Matt Apuzzo, and Adam Goldman, doing terrific work. And just over the weekend, this thing has come into focus, and I would not be surprised if in the coming weeks we learn a lot more.
That collusion, though, would be with his son, not the president himself, right, or the candidate?
True enough, or his campaign, yes. So this is.
I'm wondering who you impeach or throw in jail. I mean, I wonder who gets stung with the crime here, right?
Yeah, no. It may be that at the end of this, we have 4 or 8 years of Donald Trump as president, even while some of the people closest to him face real legal jeopardy. That's true. On the obstruction of justice side, you know, there are serious arguments to be made that if Comey's account is to be believed, that asking to shut down an investigation and firing your FBI director when he doesn't might be obstruction of justice, or the kind of thing that Congress might care about in impeachment proceedings.
Well, Adam, to answer my own question, when I was thinking about this today, I thought, well, Richard Nixon didn't actually break into the Watergate Hotel. The question may be, what did the president know and when did he know it? So if his son took that meeting, or his son-in-law takes that meeting at his either behest or with his latter knowledge for the purposes that you described, maybe he's guilty of a crime himself, if nothing else, lying to the people.
Conceivably. Now, his lawyer promptly put out a statement distancing the president from his son, saying the president didn't know about the meeting, didn't attend the meeting. It's a little hard to put too much distance between someone who bears your name and you, but there was the sense that it may be that Donald Jr. might be getting thrown under the bus.
By the way, the president has tweeted a number of things, you know, oftentimes trying to distract us about his meeting with Vladimir Putin. And the optics and timing of his meeting sometimes are just staggering. But he tweeted on Sunday at 7:50 a.m., "Putin and I discussed forming an impenetrable cybersecurity unit." That wasn't you laughing, was it? "An impenetrable cybersecurity unit so that election hacking and many other negative things will be guarded. The fact that President Putin and I discussed a cybersecurity unit," he later tweeted, "doesn't mean I think it can happen." It can't. "But ceasefire can and did." Do you have any reaction or background or thoughts for us on
that? I don't have any background. This sort of stream of consciousness through Twitter from the leader of the free world is we're living in an entirely new era here. And it's hard to know just what to make of it.
Any last observations you have for me, questions I should have asked just now, Adam?
No, I think you covered it quite well. And I think you're right to think that it may be that a window is opening onto something very, very interesting.
In the direction of his son, or in the direction of the president's knowledge of those other people working on his behalf?
Linking this particular incident up to the president, that line is at best a dotted line at the moment. But these are people who are very close to him, a blood relative, a son-in-law, and the chairman of his campaign. So these are not peripheral figures.
Adam Liptak writes from the New York Times. He's their legal reporter. We'll visit again. My best to the staff over there. Nice job, Adam. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.